You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE is closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Thursday, I have the double-header Dream Team edition with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, currently hanging off a balcony somewhere watching the New York Knicks victory parade in Manhattan, and Viv Govender, slightly less glamorous in some people's eyes, but not mine, in Johannesburg. He's from Rand Swiss, the award-winning Rand Swiss. David, you've got to give us some colour first, because you're very excited. I can almost sense it.
I can't believe, you sent me that article from The Guardian about how New York party.
Yes.
And you can't believe it until you see it. Here you are, the Knicks won the first basketball championship since 1973. But the city's gone mad. And I mean, what it does is it just draws everybody together. Millions of people are down there. But when they do a parade, it's not like Arsenal or Liverpool, who go down a street in a bus. Here they've got marching bands. They've got, just the whole parade just goes on, and it's ticker tape. They are throwing a paper. I don't know where they found it, because the ticker tape doesn't exist. But it's been an incredible day. And this comes on top of the World Cup, which is just another big party that's happening. So by default, here I am in New York, but it's been an incredible time to be here.
Yeah,
this parade is something else.
I would try and top that, but I really can't. I saw a couple of cows earlier on today in a field lying down because it's so hot, but that's about it. Viv, you're listening intently there, but I also want to, if you listened intently to the FOMC, their post interest rate decision in the United States this week, last night, in fact, I think it was. Did you read some of the changes that are going to happen? Because I immediately watched the dollar, and the dollar strengthened quite a bit. And then I read through the FOMC minutes summary, Viv, and it seems it's hawkish in the short term, but maybe long term, it's actually going to be quite dovish. What did you think?
Yes, I mean, I think one thing to be like wary of is the fact that the market was obviously concerned about I think some of the stuff that Wash is going to bring into play here. I do think that in terms of the kind of stuff that came through, we are not as scared of him being as I think maybe Trump focused as we might have been. It's simpler, of course. We're not going to give you too much guidance going forward. And I think that, that's going back to more of a pre kind of like, who is it? Greenspan. Kind of,
yes.
Yeah, the Greenspan kind of, almost, read the entrails kind of statement that he used to give out. I do think that, it's probably kind of makes sense. I think we may have gone a bit too far with the Fed trying to basically, with the market, with all these signals that were going out. And I think the fact of the matter is that in the last little while, we have seen to a certain extent, even though they got it back on track, inflation did get out of control to a certain extent. I do think that the Fed basically acting more methodically, less, just trying to be manipulative of the market, probably is the right way to go. As you said, however, if he does go down the path of having that kind of Trump, lower interest rates than we had historically, I do think that probably is not going to be a great thing. That being said, I mean, in the current environment, if you look at the budget deficits out there, it kind of logically makes sense that the Fed really can't go and be high interest rate for much longer or for long periods of time. The government just could not afford it, quite frankly, to pay those interest payments.
Yeah, I'm just reading a couple of things here, and David, you'll like this one because it brings in the AI story. There were several changes, a sort of an overhaul. So several changes are going to be made. The first is Fed communications, which Viv has hinted at, in other words, guidance. Second, the Fed's balance sheet policy, the use of reliance on existing data sources. Mm-hmm. So they're going to review the way that, I suppose, inflation is collated, the number. Fourth is productivity and jobs in the era of transformation. So they're going to talk about that. In other words, the AI effect, what it has on inflation and therefore their projections on inflation. And lastly, the Fed's inflation frameworks. So if you look at those statements, David, they're pretty dramatic, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know what, when you listen to him, and he made a statement, he said, you know, we've been above 2% for 5 years plus, you know, well above 2%. We can't go on like that. And I think the whole purpose of this is to look at all those areas and say, are we doing things right? You know, is there a better way to do things? How do we measure inflation? What is inflation? Lindsay, I've always brought up this argument, you know, how do you know what inflation is? You know, it doesn't affect Viv, you or me in the same way as a person on the streets, you know, who has to buy groceries. So I think he's doing the right thing. So we're going to have to just sit back and say, listen, we're not going to get rate reductions for a good 1-2 years, probably closer to 2 years. And that means that we've got to relook at where we are in markets. It hasn't affected markets. What affected markets today was the fact that oil prices have come down on Trump's deal, which is a whole other issue.
Yeah.
But I mean, we Europe put up rates, UK left them steady. So we've got to just come back, you know, take a step back and say, okay, how does this affect the broader market, not the AI market? So there's a bit of thinking to be done around that. Hey?
Yes, indeed. We will mention. I have to mention the so-called deal. It's a deal. It's a memorandum of understanding, which is not legally binding. It's just got Trump's little scribble on it. And the only reason he did that was because Macron very cleverly invited him to Versailles. And, you know, he loves gold and brocade and all sorts of a lush environment, if I can put it that way. So he was very flattered by that. And so when Macron said, please sign it, he signed it with a flourish and said, that's it. It's the end of the war, essentially. But I don't know. I don't know if it is. Viv, again, you have a very different way of looking at things than I do. But I see the oil price at around $78-79 a barrel at the moment, and it's come down from around about 95 a week ago. So it's a really big drop. But I just think that it may be a little bit overstated, the optimism, that is. Would you agree?
Yes, just one thing I would say, I just hope history doesn't repeat itself with another Treaty of Versailles. If you know what I mean.
Precisely.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I think from now on,
it led to Second World War.
After that Treaty of Versailles last time around, I would have thought that the last thing you ever want to do is sign anything in Versailles. So just like,
the whole
bad juju here. Exactly.
That took 20 years, thing, I suppose, to result in another war, Viv. So we got a little bit of time, but yeah, in between it was horrible.
Okay,
but
I
get your point.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't understand it. And Trump was very, very erratic. I know he's been erratic throughout his second term, but he was extremely erratic over the last couple of days when he was in Evian-les-Bains for the G7 meeting. He said something like, if this deal goes well, I'm going to take the credit. If it doesn't, that's JD's fault. And he was sort of half joking, but half serious as well. He was embracing the Egyptian leader, who's a strong man, saying that we fell in love at first sight, just like he said with Kim in North Korea. It was all a bit weird to me. I don't know. I love a good bear market occasionally, but so oil below 80 to me is, David, a bit of a short term and fanciful print I'm seeing on my screen.
Yeah, it's look, we got to see whether or not it does go down from these levels, and whether or not there is easing, you know, in the market. I mean, the physical market. I'm sure these are all the derivative markets that have brought it down, but you want to see whether we can get back to 60 or not. And I think that's worrying South Africa. I mean, even at 80, it's tough for us. You know, it's very, very tough. You can see where our inflation rates are, and they might be easing, but it's not going to be all that beneficial in the longer term. So even on our side, we're still forecasting that there's going to be some more rate increases. And I think that's affecting Europe as well. But sentiment is okay. You know, and I think just quickly where I'm going is I think we're going to go back to AI. You know, we're going to go back to SpaceX. We're going to start looking at those fundamentals again. You know, this is out the way now. We can start you know, looking at the benefits of that and whether or not there are going to be, you know, productivity increases, whether it is going to live up to what everybody says it is. So I'm pleased about that side, but we've got to rethink where we are, Lindsay. You know what I mean? We, We came into this year expecting more rate decreases, you know, and that's gone out. You know, that's no longer there. And what lies ahead for the global economy in a circumstance where rates are not coming down?
Yes, it's a very interesting week that we've just had, and the ramifications of what we've just been talking about, I think, will be seen long into the future. And if you look at the euro dollar exchange rate, for example, I mean, the dollar, everyone was talking the dollar in the 120s. That was before the war, of course. But even now that the war is paused for now, it still seems that the US dollar is suddenly in the ascendancy, euro under pressure. But anyway, it will all pan out. But all I can say is on my screen, I see the S&P futures up around about 1%, which is fantastic. And Viv now is probably, or his clients, the owners of SpaceX. Did you buy Vivian?
Not the IPO. We offered it to clients. I think it's overvalued. Here's the one little thing that I want to put out there. The overvalued SpaceX actually is an advantage to the company for the following reason. Look what they did with Cursor. They went and bought Cursor for $60 billion of SpaceX shares. Mm. If SpaceX is massively overvalued, that means you're going to get a discount. Elon Musk basically is then just being given like basically a $2 trillion kitty to go and invest in all the little AI companies he wants to. And if you look at the valuation for an Anthropic, an OpenAI, they are justified at $1 trillion, you know, $100 billion here or there, you know, give or take. Well, quite frankly, with what he has right now, he can quite frankly go out and kind of get into that kind of space. And then for half the value of SpaceX, about $2 trillion, half of that $1 trillion can be made up by trying to build up that Grok AI system. Yeah. So I think that is an interesting, but quite frankly, you know, at the pricing that it comes through right now, it's eye-wateringly expensive for clients.
Okay.
And we had ordered off the IPO. Unfortunately, we only got about 1/10 of the offering we made. You know, of course, it's oversubscribed.
Yes.
And because of the mechanism we're looking at, we only get about 1/10. But still, the clients did make money on it, of course.
Yes, of course. And congratulations on that. And long may it continue. David, you've sort of stood aside, I suppose, and watched it unfolding before you. And probably, like Viv, you think it's a little bit too rich at the moment.
I never had the opportunity to do so. We couldn't do through our various agents. And once it listed, you know, it kicked up, and I thought, okay, just stand aside. Where I agree with Viv, you're using overvalued currency to buy, you know, stocks.
Yes.
So you're using an inflated dollar, whatever it is, or an inflated share price. And that, I don't know whether it's big enough to do deals, and slowly you bring down your multiple, you know, by doing that. It was a favorite trick of many companies, conglomerates and that, who used to, you know, just use their script to buy other businesses. But I like the story, and, you know, I like where they're going. But I just think for the meantime with other stocks, you know, whether it's a Microsoft or Amazon or any of those at much more compelling valuations. The one thing, Lindsay, this market is not overvalued. You know, I keep getting even now the references to the bubble in 2000. This is not 2000.
No,
2000. You had these you had these massive multiples without earnings. Here, the companies are keeping up with their earnings. You know, in other words, I don't even think there's an increase in you know, you're not seeing multiples or PEs of 50, 60, 70 or something. We've got Nvidia at a forward of about 23 for a company that's earning significantly more than that in earnings. So, I'm comfortable in that area. You know, I'm comfortable to stay with those stocks just simply on those fundamentals. I'm just sorry, you know, without talking too much, I'm sorry that we're not going into a period of lower interest rates, you know, and you know, the market's not going to broaden up, that we've got to focus where we are, which is still very rewarding, but, you know, somewhat restrictive.
I'm just looking at... I'm just going to give this some context to what David just said. I'm just looking at the screen, which pops up automatically on one particular site that I favour, and it gives you the most active stocks on the market today. Micron up 8.5%, SpaceX down 6.7%, Nvidia up 2.3%, Intel nearly 9% higher, SanDisk up 11%, Marvel up 12%, and Apple a 1% gainer. But you can see the composition of the most active stocks, Viv. I mean, it's extraordinary. Yeah. In the old days, it would have been Kodak and Dow Chemicals and things like that. But now, look at those names, Viv.
Yeah, the one interesting thing I want to point out is that Apple's announcing that it's going to be raising the price of iPhones going forward because the price of memory is too much. And if this AI thing keeps on going as it is, I mean, it's going to translate from memory into energy. And I do think that's going to be an issue down the line, because not only are you not are you suffering because you're not in like the AI companies, but if you're not in the AI companies, the companies you are in are going to be negatively affected by the AI kind of hype out there. So if energy starts to rise, we are going to be in a big, kind of bit of trouble. Like what Apple is doing right now by having to raise prices because of memory, the other companies out down the line are going to start raising prices because energy is going up, because, yeah, you know, infrastructure is more expensive, et cetera, et cetera.
Good point. Okay. David, Lindsay, anything else before we wrap up AI and go to the real markets?
The one thing Walsh did bring up is that recognizing that high rates, you know, are hurting the economy, he mentioned the property market or the housing market. And that's a sticking point with him. That's a sticking point with everybody, even with Trump. You know, higher interest rates means that that market doesn't recover. You know, that market stays where it is. And that's bad for Trump. It's bad for the economy. He's got to find a solution where he's not raising rates, but he is going to stimulate housing and, you know, make it more affordable for people to buy houses and so on. Interesting point. He didn't elaborate. You know, he didn't elaborate on that, but he did admit that it's an area that they need to look at.
Could be a two-tier economy, could be a two-tier market continuing forward. Yeah. He did say one thing, that they were 100% committed to price stability and they would deliver price stability, and obviously in a different, slightly different way to under Fed Chair Powell. But the other thing he said was persistent high prices are the enemy of the American people, and it flies directly in the face of what his boss said last week when he says, "I like inflation," a stupid thing to say. Trump, I'm talking about, of course. But anyway, he said it for the record. Okay, we got the dollar rand at 16.42, British pound against the rand is 21.74, and the euro rand is 18.85. The euro dollar, 114.80 now. It's quite a big move. It doesn't sound like a lot. It's only about a quarter of a percent, but it's quite impactful for the world's largest and most important asset class, I suppose. What else we got? Gold price. Oh dear, 42.52, it's only down five today, but it's 100 down from yesterday. David, go on.
You know, I'm saying you were negative on gold. You're right.
Well, I was negative.
I think it's over.
I'm just looking at the gaps as well, Viv, just to put this into, to bring you into a conversation that David and I had on Monday. I said, I'm looking at the NASDAQ graph in the old fashioned way of the open, high, low, close bar chart, not the continuation graph that you get with 24-hour markets these days. And there's so many gaps on the NASDAQ. We've got another gap today. The market, in other words, the market opens higher than the high of the previous day. It's just looking a little bit gappy to me. But there isn't a top in place yet, fundamentally or technically. The platinum price is 1721, which is down 4%. Another big move and a bad one for South Africa. Palladium is down 5% at $12.95. The other one, and the all-important one, of course, is the oil price, which continues to slide. It's down 3.25%. That's Brent crude oil, $76.97 now. And West Texas crude is $74.10, which is down 3.5%. S&P 500, the futures I'm looking at now, these have gone to September, up 0.94%. South African 10-year bond yield. This is an interesting one. It's behaving quite well. It's 8.44%, and the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield also not doing that badly. If you're a yield chaser, it's 4.412%. Okay, it was 4.50 10 days ago or something, but it's not really reacting that much. The 30-year is reacting a little bit more to the Fed statement, but anyway. There we are. And Bitcoin, finally, it had a nice little rally from its lows, but it's now down 3.3%, 63,569. How was the JSE today, David? Did you manage it with all the excitement of your portfolio and also what's happening going through the streets of New York? Did you see the JSE or any company news?
Yeah. I didn't look at company news, but I'm just looking at the – you mentioned the platinum palladium price as a gold price. So a lot of weakness there in the mining sector. That took the market down almost 1%, 0.9% it's down. But you've got resources under a lot of pressure. The rest of the market's steady. But that's a market that's taking a hammering because of, you know, the, I've seen that Sasol is back to 177. Remember, this is a share that was well over 200. Also, what's it? 17,733. But it was, it, you know, it was significantly above that. This is coming down heavily on those, you know, on the falling oil prices. But broadly, miners under quite a bit of pressure.
Yeah, I'm going to give you
the rest of the market steady. Yeah, but I mean, the market is, it's. I don't know what's going to get our market going. I, you know, this was the main driver, but if we start to see commodities taking a bit of a knock, and again against a higher oil, you know, with sorry, against higher interest rates,
yes,
it's going to be tough for us to get ourselves out the hole.
Yeah, and the all-important rand, dollar-rand exchange rate will be a focus in the future for the miners, of course, with the rand price of these metals. But if Viv, I don't know if you want to comment on the JSE, but when I read out the five losers on my screen, Impala Platinum 6.4%, Sibanye-Stillwater 5 2/3, Pan African Resources nearly 5%, Northam down 4 1/3, and South 32 a 4.2% loser. The darlings of last year and earlier this year is just not starting to show cracks. They have been showing cracks, but this is the sort of day that the Treasury doesn't want to see, Viv.
Yes, certainly. But I mean, I do think, I agree with David, in the short term, probably we are going to see like these things a little bit of pressure. But that being said, I mean, the drivers were pushing gold up, you know, the last few years are still there, if not worse. Why? Because central banks around the world don't want to have as much dollars as they had in the past. I don't think anything in the last year would make a place like the Europeans or the Chinese or the Indians think to themselves, we really need more US dollars in our reserves at the moment. You know what I mean? And so I think that the underlying demand for swapping out dollars for something else, what's been helping gold, I think that remains in long term.
It certainly does. And the World Gold Council came out with this report, their report this week, and it said that the buying from central banks is still continuing. So what it's basically saying is if you look at the price of 4,250, which is where it is now, and you see the high of 5,600 earlier on this year, you can say that that gap, the $1,400 an ounce gap, was a speculative froth, I suppose. Would you agree with that, David? A lot of it was ETFs and retail buying.
Yeah. It will. It's going to find a base much lower down. And, you know, gold by nature is it's not easy to read. I'm more skeptical. You know, I'm much more skeptical on having watched gold for so many years. I'm not a great gold supporter. I understand exactly where Viv is coming from, that people want an alternative. But the problem is we can't find it. You don't want the euro. You don't want the yuan. You don't want, you know, I don't know what you want. You don't want Bitcoin anymore as well.
No.
So I just say, what the hell? Buy the dollar.
I wonder if we'll look. I wonder if we'll look back at this chat that we've had and David saying that this market's not overvalued. Viv saying SpaceX is overvalued, but the reason is the good part about that is it can go chucking around scrip and just buying whatever it likes, essentially with the $2 trillion play chest. So I just wonder if you'll look back and say the Fed said this all those years ago when we were having a chat, and that is what happened to the market straight after us. I don't know. David, just quickly, if you can, give us a couple of closing JSE indices, if you would.
Okay, so just on the indices, you've got the all share index down 0.89%. Resources down 3.5%, mainly because of the fall in those gold and platinum shares that you mentioned. The rest of the market pretty steady. So you've got the financial market, the financial and industrial index up 0.41%, banks up, probably the best performing area, 0.84 up there, and industrial up 0.4%. But I think most of the drag came because of those miners. Just from a point of view of activity. Oi, what's today? Is it a futures closeout? Must be.
It's
$64 billion. Yeah,
yeah, that was it. Of course, the June closeout.
Yeah. So I didn't pick up that activity. It came, but plenty of activity today with Goldfields trading $5 billion, Naspers, Anglo Gold, all the big traders there. But obviously, futures close out, lifting those values.
And overseas, Nasdaq is doing very nicely, still at 1.3%. The dollar index has gone through 100. It's 100.4. So a 0.5% gain for the dollar against a basket of other currencies, and gold currently down 2.75% at 42.62. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time, as always. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities. Viv Govender from Rand Swiss in Johannesburg. David, just a quick one. Are you looking out your window? Can you see anything? Can you see the Knicks fans going berserk?
They're going mad. I've got to tell you one thing.
Go on.
And it's very interesting. Mayor Mamdani, who's a divisive kind of character in New York.
The mayor.
His popularity is going to skyrocket. He has made such a big hit. He's not my favorite person, but he's made a huge hit with this parade. You know, being on the podium there, having organized it as well. And I think it's very interesting to see how something like this can help you politically.
So you can be a Marxist with a smile on your face, David.
Yes. In a New York City that is the most capitalist city you're ever going to find. You know?
Very good. Okay, thank you very much. Send those pictures to our joint WhatsApp group, if you will, so David and Viv can Viv and I can have a look at it. Thank you very much. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.